Starting the Mishnah in the middle of Chafamar and Bet. Ad kam Yisrael chayvim litapel b'bechor. So how long does the Yisrael have to hold onto the Bechor before he gives it to the Kohen? Bizman is where there's no alternative for the Bechor except to wait for it to get a mum. So whoever has to hold onto it while before it gets a mum, there's a certain amount of outlays that take place. So how much do we burden the Balim versus how much do we burden the Kohen? So here, how long does the Yisrael have to keep it? Bedaka, with smaller animals, 30 yom. Ubegasva, and large animals, 50 yom, 50 days. Biosimer, bedaka, 3 chodoshim. Bebeim, bedaka, 3 months, because there's a lot of work involved with it. Amalo, hakohen, betoch hazman, if the kohen comes to him within the 30-day period, or within the 50-day period, and says to them, tenayoli, give me the bechor, arizelo yitenenolo, don't give it to him. Bimbal momo, if it's already got a mom, bamalo tenayoli, shochlenu mutar, then he can give it to him. Because if he takes it early, it looks like, and we're going to see this in the Gemara in a second, Kohenin Hamasaya Begranot. He's basically saving you money. You would have to pay for the care of this animal up to the 30-day point, up to the 50-day point. If he takes it off your hands earlier, then he's saving you the money. And it looks like for that savings, you're giving him the animal. So it's basically he's buying the Bechor from you by saving you that money. On the other hand, if it already is a mum, then he can eat it right away. Then there is really technically no savings of money because the mum is there, he won't have to keep it afterwards. It's just a question, you can't eat it, the kohen can't eat it. So if you give it to him and he eats it right away, that'll be mutar. B'shat ha-mikdash, imayat tamim, if it was a tamim in the time of mikdash, amalo, 10, ve'kriveno, mutar. If he says, give it to me and I'll put it on the mizbeach, that's again mutar, because he has no outlays. He's not expending any money to keep it around, he's putting it right on the mizbeach. Ha-bechor nechal shana bishana, it's eaten for a year, ben tam ben mamum, shenemar, tnei Hashem elokecha, tochlenu shana bishana, the Gemara will darshan that in today's daf, exactly, it's machloket about what the drasha is out of the pasuk. No lo adom mum betoch shnato, if he gets a mum within the first year, reshay lekaimo, kol shneimasar chodesh, you can keep it for the entire 12 months, after your bet chodesh, and reshay lekaimo adam et yom, then you only have 30 days that you're allowed to keep it after the time that it gets a mum in it. Where do we know this 30-day and 50-day period from? Amar Rav Kana Damar Kro. Pasuk says in Parshat Mishpatim, it says Mlayatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher b'chor banecha titen li kein taseh l'shorcha litzonecha shivat yomim mimei yomo v'yam ha-shmini titen li. So over here you have Mlayatcha v'dimacha, that's referring to the bikurim. You're not allowed to delay the bikurim lo te'acher b'chor banecha titen li, that's pidyon haben kein taseh l'shorcha litzonecha. So too, you should do for your shor and your tzon, referring to Bechor, that you have to give them over to the Kohen. Now, the Gemara is going to darshan the connection between these psukim. Remember, Gemara, Dama, Kara, Bechor Banecha Titeni, Kein Tase Litzonecha. The Bechor Banecha is connected to Kein Tase Litzonecha. So too, you should do for your tzon, which are Behemot Dakot, Melechcha V'dimatcha Lo Te'acher, Kein Tase Lishorcha, that you should do for your shor. So if you look at the layout of the psukim, you have Melechcha V'dimacha Lo Te'acher. That's the first part of the pasuk. The second part of the pasuk is Bechor Banecha Titen Li. In the subsequent pasuk, it says Kein Taseh L'Shorcha, and then Litzonecha. So what the Gemara is doing is running a parallel. It's saying the Melechcha V'dimacha in the first pasuk will match up with the Shorcha in the second pasuk. Bechor Banecha will match up with the Litzonecha in the second pasuk. That it's parallel. It runs parallel. Whatever's first in the first pasuk will be connected to first in the second pasuk. But second in the first pasuk will be second in the second pasuk. So that's what the Gemara says now. Bechor banecha titen li, which is the second item mentioned in the first pasuk, which is pidyon bechor, takes place after 30 days. So kein taseh litzonecha, which is in the second pasuk, that's second, that's the 30 days. Vayatcha dimacha lo te'acher is in the first pasuk, which is referring to the bikurim. From the time that you bring the omer until the time that it's mutar to bring chadash in the migdash is the sfirat omer. It's 50 days. So it's 50 days, and they get the 50 days, you connect to Shorcha. So Gemara says, Ipuch, Hano, why don't you flip it around? So, Mistavra, Demikdam, Lemikdam, Demacher, Lemacher. So in the Pasuk, whatever came first in each Pasuk, we matched up. Whatever came later in each Pasuk, we matched up. Gemara says, Adarabo, Desamichle, did the Samichle. Looked at the juxtapositions. Let's say whatever's closest together. Bechor Banecha Titen Li is connected to Kein Taseh L'Shorcha. They're the closest in the Tukim. Maybe put those together. Right, but by default, then you would put the outer two together. Ella, Amar Rava, Amar Kora. Taseh Rava comes up with a totally different reason. Pasuk says, Taseh. Hosif Lecha Katuv Asiyah Cheret B'Shorcha. So the extra Asiyah by the shore comes to add an additional amount of time you have to wait. Which is the Pasuk says, Kein Taseh L'Shorcha Litzonecha. So the taseh that's matched up with the shorcha says that shor will have an additional taseh. If we know that tzon is 30 days, then kein taseh l'shorcha, if you have a doubling of that, you would have 60 days. The Gemara is going to ask on Rava right now. So Rabbi says, Tasel, Sivacha Kutuba Siacheret, Bishorcha, Veima Shitin. Wait, it's 60 days. If you're going to double, if you're going to say extra Siyah, then it should be double what the tzon is. If the tzon is 30, this should be 60. Says Lo Masarcha Katuv El Chachamim. The Pasuk gave it over to the Chachamim to interpret. We find this also by, the Gemara says this, by Cholom Moed, the Torah says that there's an Iser Melacha of some sort, partial is Melacha, but the Chachamim will decide what exactly is Asur and Mutar on Cholom Moed. So here you have a Dindo Raita that's going to be defined by the Chachamim. So also over here, a Dindo Raita defined by the Chachamim. It says an Ech Eret. What is that? The Chachamim will define for us that it's 50 days. Cholom Moed. We know there's an Iser Melacha. Which Melachot are Asurim? Which ones are Muturim? The Chachamim will define for us. The Ramban, Ala Torah, also brings this to Gabe Shabbat. By Zachor Yom HaShabbat, that there is an additional aspect of Shabbat, the positive aspects of Shabbat. Included that are things that are not appropriate, not Beruach HaShabbat. And again, the Ramban claims, and the Rambam himself also paskins in a sense of the Oraita, that the Torah makes a Doraita demand on you to make it Shabbos. How do you make it Shabbos? Well, there are certain things that even though they're not Asurim, they're not Meluchot, they're not mitzvot to say, but still not within the Ruach of Shabbat, that the Chachamim determined. So again, here you have certain amount of Doraita, mitzvot Doraita, that are Nimsarim, the Chachamim, in order to define the mitzvot Doraita.
Presumably based their opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. That the Chachamim in general tried to use paradigms in the Torah to create what they had. Obviously, the paradigm of Omer stands out. It stands between two regalim. It's a time when you have the Bikurim and Lotecher. All of these things apply to that. But clearly, Rav is distinguishing himself from the previous opinion that connected it directly to the Bikurim. Over here, you don't have that. So the Chachamim had to decide how or what to put together. All right. Tanya Nami Yochi. B'chor b'necha t'in li, k'en t'aseh l'tzonecha, yachol af l'shorcha, tamal omer t'aseh. Osiv l'cha katuv, asiyah acheret b'shorcha. B'masrcha katuv, elo l'chachamim. So it's the same braita. Mikan amru, ad kam Yisrael chayavim l'itapel b'bor chayimeh b'chor behimad daka 30 yom, v'gasa 50 yom. Biosi Omer Bidaka Shlosha Kodashim Bipne Shitipula Miruba. That because it takes a lot of effort. It's not easy to keep around a behemoth daka. Why is that? Tana Bipne Shishinea Dakot. It's unable to chew. First of all, it's a herbivore. It only eats asavim grasses. And even when they're younger, they have trouble chewing on the grasses. They need to nurse from their mother. So not only do you need to, if you don't have the mother around, then you gotta nurse the baby, basically give it bottles, you gotta feed the baby. It's not easy to take care of a behemah daka. So since it was a heavy burden, they left it with the Yisrael, with the Balim, for an additional amount of time. They left it with them for 3 months, according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, ima marlo akoyim betoch hazman dineuli, hare ze lo yiten lo, my time up. Am Rav Sheshi, b'nei shinir ek, ikoyin amasayev beit agranot. Looks like a Kohen who's basically buying the matana. The Kohen is entitled to the bechor, and you as a Balim are entitled to give it to him wherever you want. But if the Kohen basically comes in and takes over for you and saves you money and then you give it to him, it looks like he's buying the Bechor from you. Instead of you giving it to him, he's basically saving you the remainder of the time that you'd have to keep this behemah around, pay for its upkeep. And that money is for that exchange of that money, is you're giving him the behemah. Tan Rabbanan, Akonim, Va'alevim, Va'aniim, Amisayim, Ve'beit Aro'im, U'beit Agranot, U'beit Amidbachayim, Ein Notnin Lehem. So in terms of Beit Aro'im, that's referring to a Kohen. That's referring to the Bechor. In the Beit Arim, you have Bechorim that are born. So over there, you're not, a Kohen shouldn't go to the shepherd's area and say, listen, anything that's born here, I'm ready to take them off your hand. Then, Beit HaGranot refers to all of them. That's Aniim, Kohanim, and Levi'im, because there you have the Matnot, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, and the Truma, all of which belong to each party, respectively. And therefore, they should not go and help him do his work. Don't come and help and work with the Kriya. Help him do his work in the Beit HaGranot. In return, or in exchange, forgetting those matnot. And then Beit Mitzchaim again is only the Kohen. He goes down to the slaughterhouse and he asks for the matnot, the Zerua Lechaim in Keba. So again, helping out. They work there in exchange for the matnot. So that you should ain't not nim lahem. You don't give it to them. You don't give them any of their Chuma Maser for their reward for helping out. If they do it, they cause a chilul in the Chuma Maser. You've broken, you've disparaged, you've destroyed the covenant of Levi because of the way that you've acted. In addition to that, that the Kodshim Ibn Yisrael, you should not profane and you should not die. I mean, you'll die if you do profane them. My Omer, why do you need the second pasuk from Parshat Korach? You're going to say that they're not deserving of the death penalty. Tashma. That means that if they are mechalelet, they are deserving of the death penalty. Obviously, it's not literally, because as Tosfos says, la'davka, we don't find any punishment in mita over here, but rather he says, el karovu avon mita. Something that they, like, deserving of avon mita. Not that they actually get it, but they should get it because of the way they've acted.
Right.
Oh, what's the chilul itself? Chilul is that they, instead of getting receiving them as matnot, they're working in exchange for them. They're monetizing them and making, basically, the balim are paying them with the matnot. That's the chilul here. They're not treating them like matnot. They're treating them like money. Alright, so now, bikshu chamim lekonsan. Chamim wanted to fine them. Now, fine them, it's not clear here. I would have read the pashtut is that they wanted to fine the kohanim and levim for doing this. But that's not the case. They wanted to be kohanim, the balim who did this. They had to take off truma mishalem on another time. That means that this truma would not count as truma, and they have to take off again. But they didn't do this. They wanted to do it, and they didn't do it. What they were afraid of was that they would then take off truma again. When they took off truma again, that was truma that is not chayam mido raita. And then they would have other foods where they did have truma do raita. They'd mix up, and they'd take off truma from both. They'd mix them up. Tosafot would ask, basically, we have this all over Shas, where the chachamim were kodesh that you have to take off truma a second time. Where something goes wrong, where something happens, and then you have to take off truma a second time. There we don't say, ah, we're worried about them. Patur al chiyuv. Tosu says something along the lines of what Joel is explaining now, which is that it depends on the circumstance. Over here, what the balim are going to think is that they paid the kohen for his work. The chachamim say it didn't work, you have to give truma again. So what are they going to think? They're going to think the first truma they gave was not truma. That was actually compensation for their work. And now when he thinks of truma, this is the real truma. The other cases that we have in Shas, came in Shas, truma rishona lekohen. When they gave the first truma to the kohen, made the yoda the shnia the rabbonon. They're going to know if they gave it to the kohen, and the rabbonon said you have to give again, it's not because the first one wasn't truma. They know it's a din derabbonon because they already gave it, and they know they gave truma to the kohen. So they're going to know for sure that the second one is only a din derabbonon. Over here, where there's a reason to believe that the first one wasn't truma, because they used it like compensation, over there we're afraid that they're going to think the second one is really d'oraita. Because of that, they were not kones then. Ubekulan yesh behem tovata na lebalim. In all of these cases, the balim have the right to give them. I mean, the right of nitina is given to the balim. That's by truma, by maiser, rishon, by zruah lechayim keba. The right of the Israel is to give it to whomever he pleases, so that he can then accept the money in return for giving it. But how does that work? Kate said, Israel shefish truma mikiryo. Israel then mafrish truma from his pile. Umatz o Yisrael acher. Another Yisrael finds him. Vamar lo. Helach sela ze. Take this coin, the sela, utneo the ben biti, and give it to my grandson who's a kohen. Mutar. Over there that's mutar, because there's no direct connection between the kohen and the truma. Meaning that he's not being, the kohen's not paying him for the truma. It's his grandfather who's the Yisrael is paying him in order to give the, he's monetizing the value, the netina value. And since this Yisrael has a right to give it to whomever he wants, this Yisrael is saying, I'll pay you to give it to my grandson, which is fine. But imayak kohen the kohen, asur. If it was a kohen who comes along and says, give it to my grandson the kohen, then it's asur, because then it looks like a kohen, a misleil beit hakarnot. It looks like he's paying him for the truma, which is problematic. Right, even though he himself is not getting it, but the fact that he's a kohen already makes it problematic. It looks like you're buying the truma. That's the problem. If the kohen's ro'oi, then it looks like he's buying the truma and then giving the truma to another kohen. Whereas if it's Yisrael, we know he can't eat it. So the only thing he could be doing paying for is the right to give, and therefore we allow him to do it. So then Gemara says, "V'tana my time alo kamar matanot kuna." So why did the Tana not mention matanot kuna when he gave the example that's over here? He says, "Yisrael shifrish truma mikerio." Until now, the Bright has been speaking about all the matanot. It's been talking about Maiser Rishon, it's been talking about Maiser Oni, Mechulan Yeshven Tovatana, and then it says all of them have this right of giving, and then you go and give an example only by Truma. So why was the example focused on Truma, and not just say by matanot in general? By Tamalok, or matanot kuna. So I'm like, Truma, de kedushat agufi, because Truma is kedushat aguf, de kevin dolom mitchalo, you cannot redeem kedushat aguf from Truma. Lo ate the mitte ba. People will not make a mistake over there and think that when you purchase it, that it's as if you're buying it. Hani, came into Kedushat Damim Ninhu, these items which are Kedushat Damim, ate the mitte bahon. People would think then, the bar mitchal kedushutayu, ar arba zuze, they would think that you're really redeeming it on this money. If ate the minag, bu minag chulin, and then they're going to start to treat it like chulin, The important distinction over here is that truma is asur de zarin. Truma is something that the zar cannot consume and it remains in its kedusha, and everybody knows you cannot redeem truma. So therefore, if the transaction is set up by truma, then we don't worry about people making a mistake that they're going to take the truma and keep it for themselves and then eat it and do whatever they want with it because they thought they paid for it. No, they know that when they're giving the money, it's all for the right to give it to a kohen. Whereas by the other thing, let's know the zor lechayim and keba, which are chulin, technically, there's a chiyuv of metina to the kohen or to the levi or to the ani. But the item itself is chulin, you would think that the money that you gave was a right of redemption. So that you can now, they're yours. You can treat them like chulin, you don't have to do anything with them. Now Rashi says, what does that mean, treat them like chulin? They are chulin. Why should that be? What's the difference over here? So Rashi explains to us, he won't eat them roasted and with mustard. Dinam ha-mifurash. He won't eat these matnot kuna like the kohanim are supposed to. What's that? It says there in the parsha, you have to eat them la-moshcha. And the Gemara Darshan, if you remember, la-moshcha means the gdula. That the matnot kuna have to be eaten in a princely manner, like the kings eat it. So Rashi tells you that has to be roasted, it has to have to be chardal. You would think that the monies that were given over here somehow took them out of that status of matnot kuna. And since they're no longer matnot kuna, you're going to treat them like chulin. And since you treat them like chulin, you won't eat them in their proper manner. So therefore, the bright to focus on truma, where we allow you to do this, because there's no chashash of making a mistake about what's transpiring over here. By truma, which retains its kedusha, since it retains its kedusha, and we know it's not going to disappear, it's only going to be the kohen, nobody will make the mistake and think that there's some sort of redemption here, that there's some sort of lowering of the kedusha of the truma. So by truma, we say, go ahead, and you can do such an exchange. By matnot, we don't allow you to do such an exchange because we worry about the outcome or what people are going to think about it. They're going to say that the matnot were then exchanged and turned into chulin. If they're turned into chulin, they won't treat them like the matnot kuna anymore. They won't treat them like the matnot kuna that they are. And as Rashi says, the nafkamina is, they need to be eaten b'chardal, b'tzli, they have all these things. Now by truma, to be honest with you, we don't have this din of l'mashcha, that they're eating b'gedula. Toswot suggests over here that maybe that's only shayach b'basar. It's only a din by basar, that's not a din by grains. And therefore, we only worry about this by the matnot of Zor Lechayim and Keba. We don't worry about it in terms of the matnot of the truma.
The verse says,
Tov, but then you only allowed to sell that Tov Batana when it comes to truma, not by the matnot. Tov Batana is that you have the right to give it to whomever you want. You can choose whomever you want to give it to, correct. They all have Tov Batana, you all have the right to give it, but you can only monetize that by truma. You cannot monetize that by the matanot. Yeah, it is. It's clearly a Gzeret Chachamim. They're worried about what people will think. So technically, you could do it. You could monetize it. You have different Gzeret. You have Kohen and Maseya Begranot, which doesn't allow you to do it through a Kohen. And then you have the problem of Yisrael, that Ata the Mite, so we don't allow you to do it even by the Matnot, or the Zor Lechayim and Keba. We only allow you to do it to Truma, where it's clear what's happening. Yisrael, by Truma, where it's clear what's happening, there they allowed you to do it. And now this next Gemara here, the next piece of the Gemara, it's going to fly, but these are fundamentals of how we deal with Truma today, fundamentals of how we deal with Matnot Kuna today. First one is, Amarova, Trumat Chutzalaretz, Imba Mishum Kohen, Amaseya Beit Agranot. This whole din of Kohen, Amaseya Beit Agranot does not apply to Trumat Chutzalaretz. Why? Because Trumat Chutzalaretz is only a din de Rabbonon, it's not a din de Oraito. So over there they were makil by Trumat Chutzalaretz. V'chama Yoivle the Shamei, Rav Chama used to give it to his servant. His servant was a Kohen. He gave it to his servant. Amar Shmuel, Trumat Chutzalaretz, Betela Berov. You don't need 100 to 1. You only need a rov in order to be Mevatel Trumat Chutzalaretz. Again, because it's only a Din Derabanan. Now Rashi says, what does that mean? That Trumat Betela Berov is that even a Zar could eat it. If it was Batel Berov, a Zar could eat it. Tosafot says that's not the case. Tosafot says that Betela Berov, that a Kohen may could eat it in Chutzalaretz. You still need 100 to 1 for a Zar to eat it. So they argue about what this means, that it's batel barov. What does that help for? Rashi says it helps for everything. That's batel gamre, even a zar can eat it. So suppose it says, you still need 101 to allow a zar to eat it, but batel barov is enough that a kohen tameh could eat this. Rabba, mevatla barov, ochala, bimei tumato. Rabba actively was mevatel it barov, and then ate it when he was tameh.
Is that where Tosus
draws his conclusion? Yes. Tosus says that Rabba is the proof about what the previous statement was about. Yes, correct. That's why Tosus says, Rabba tells you what you can do with it, batel barov. But now Rabba was a Kohen, if you remember, we did this together in the Gemara in Chulin. That has to do with the Machloket about the Girso in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. There it says that Abaye and either Rabba or Rabba were from Beit Eli. So over there, the girsa seems to be, and Rashi and Tosafot both say that the girsa is Rabbah, and therefore that's what's in Rosh Hashanah, that should be the girsa in Rosh Hashanah. There are others argue that the girsa there should be Rova, but over here, both Rashi and Tosafot agree that the girsa is Rabbah, and that was the Gemara in Chulin also, we had the girsa as being Rabbah, because there he gave it to his servant, and there was a question why he gave it to his servant, that he was a Kohen. So there, the answer differently, depending if you think Rabbah is not a Kohen, then he gave it to a servant who was a Kohen, or if he is a Kohen, he couldn't take it from himself, he had to give it to someone else, he had to do Dentina, and then he could only get it back afterwards. Alright, so now, Gemara considers, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua, Kimit Ramile Chamra de Truma, when he had these cases of wine of Truma, Havarami Trey Natle, he brought out two ladles of Chulin, Vichada Natle de Truma. So he brought in two, he'd take two ladles of Chulin, one ladle of Truma, Mikan Me'elech Rami Chada V'Shakil Chada. From that point onwards, he did evenly, one and one, one and one. Why? Because then he'll end up with it being the rov is chulin. You do two chulin, one truma. So now you have rov chulin. Then after that, he just kept adding one of each. One of each, you will always have more chulin than truma. So that's the case of the batal barov. It's exactly what Rabba was saying, that he was mevatalit birov.
It was
biyadayim. That's what Rabba said also. Rabba says biyadayim, mevatal birov. You'll have to be mevatal biyadayim. V'amar Shmuel, truma chutz laretz, ochel ve'oleich. This has huge implications. Trumat chutz laretz, you're allowed to eat it. And then mafrish, the trumot and masrot in the end. You could do it limafreya. You don't have to take off the trumat masrot meirosh. Even though it's tevel. Tevel midor, right? You'd have to be mafrish up front. You can't eat it. There's an Easter tevel, even eating tevel. What the Easter is? Is Easter simply a lav? Or is there an Easter that is associated with whatever's in there? I mean, if you have truma and then it's a chiv mita b'day shamayim. If there are other things they only get malkot for, then you get malkot for it. But that tevel d'oraita, so you have to be mafrish up front. Tevel midrabanan, you can be mafrish l'mafreya. On that, a lot of what happens today in Eretz Yisrael is somech. Because today, trumot, according to Rov HaRishonim, are midrabanan, they are somech on the fact that they can be mafrishit l'mafreya. For instance, many times, the rabbanut that is taken care of, say of a distributor, or vegetable distributors, or places, they come after the place has been open for 2-3 hours. So they've already sold vegetables, already sent out vegetables that they weren't mafrish trumot to masrot from. What do? They're mafrish lemafreya on those that were sent out already. How can they do that? Truma derabanan, just like trumat chutz laretz as a din derabanan, also here, trumat ayom that is me derabanan, we're makeyol to allow them to mafrish lemafreya. We allow them to take it off lemafreya. It's a big kula. So there are some people not so happy about that and try to be makpid. I know I spoke to Rabbi David about it. So he prefers that you go after the rabbis come there beforehand. Because then you can be choshesh. There are shito like the Raivud who think that Shumot Masrot are still Doraita Ayom. So there, if you are somech on the mafreya, that means that you for sure believe it's the Rabbonan. You can't be choshesh for those shito that think that's Doraita. So in order to be choshesh for those shito Doraita, he prefers that you go after the time that it was nifresh. Right, now again, Amar Shmo ein Shumat Chutz Laretz Asura Elabi Shetuma Yotzei Alav Migufo. A Kohen who is Tamei can eat Shumat Chutz Laretz except for someone who's Tamei Betuma Yotzei Migufo. So the only two Mot that are Yotzei Migufo are Zav, and the other one possibly is Balkeri. Bahani Milei Ba'achila. That's only true for Achila. But Migia Leit Lampa, you can touch it. Wants to touch it, no problem. You can touch it, we don't worry about tumah at all. Amar Avina, Hilkach, because of that, Nida, Kotza, Chala, Va'ochola, Lekohen Katan. Therefore, a Nida can be Mafrish Chala in Chutz Laretz. In Chala, Chutz Laretz, she can be Mafrish Chala, even though she's Tmeya. Even though it's Tumah Yotzim, so Yotzami Gufa. She can be Mafrish Chala, Va'ochola, Lekohen Katan, and she can give it to a Kohen Katan. Ve like a Kohen Katan, if there's no Kohen Katan around, Shakla Beresh Masel. She puts it on the top of the poker. Veshadya Betanuru and puts it into the fire. Vahadra or Mefarsha Chala Churite. Then she takes off a second piece of Chala. Keiche Lilo Tishtakach Torat Chala. Vochala Kohen Gadol. In order that the din of Chala should not be forgotten. And then she can give it to a Kohen Gadol. Now Rashi says the reason that she puts it on the top of the poker is so that she shouldn't come into contact with it. Since she's not going to give it to a Kohen Katan, and we don't want it to become Tamei, therefore she puts it on the top of the poker in order not to make it Tamei as much as possible, and then to put it in the fire. Tosfot disagrees. He said, we just saw in the Gemara that the Amoraim said that you can touch. There's no chashash of Nigia in Trumat Chutz Laretz if you're Tamei. So why should that be the problem? Rather, Tosfot suggests over here that the reason they have to give it, number one, to the Katan is because it's a small piece. You're only mafrish the smallest piece possible because it's tamei. It's chalak chutz la'aretz that's tamei'ah. You don't want to make a big piece of it. So you give it to a katan because that's who's ra'ui to eat such a small piece. Then why do you take it on the end of the poker? Rashi translates matzah as poker. Tosafot over here translates it as a rodeh, something that's scraper, the thing that scrapes the challah off the walls of the tanur. That's what this masah is. Venir de masa hainu miradash rodin ba'atapat. The reason you use the poker is because that way, if you use your hand to do it, you couldn't get it deep into the fire to burn it up. But if you use this poker or this scraper to put it into the fire, you can insert it deep into the fire and it'll be burnt up. But over here you have, first of all, this idea of being mafrish, two chalot. One challah that is either burnt or given to a kohen katan, and the other one that's mufrash, so that lo tishtakach torat chala, and then you give to a regular kohen to eat.
The second one,
yeah, it's not real chala, but it's lo tishtakach torat chala. That's why she can touch it. That's why a kohen can eat it. But it was an idea that you don't forget that you have to be mafrish chala from these items and give it to the kohen. Gemara, we'll see. There's a huge Tosfot that asks about why. Why do they only do this by chala, by not by other things? How come we don't do this today? What you're going to quote is from Rashi. It says, a Kohen Katan, he doesn't have Tumah Yotzei Migufo. He was never a Balkari, he was never a Zab, he was too young to have Tumah Yotzei Migufo. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfot disagrees and says the reason that you have to give it to the Katan is because it's his size. It's the right size for him. Tosfot says, Yesh Ktzat Teima Mai Nakat Kohen Katan, Alo Afilu Gadol Yechol Ochla, Achar Shetovel V'Tayar Mikaryo. Fine, so Kohen can't eat it with Tumah Yotzei Migufo. Let him go to the mikveh, he'll get rid of the Tumah Yotzei Migufo, and now he can eat it. So why does it say Kohen Katan? He says, "V'nir l'ri mitokach de'en lo chalar zu shi'ur v'isha davar mu'atu." It's a small piece. Not all the kohen katan. It's a child-sized portion. So you give it to a child, right? He says specifically a child because he doesn't have tumah yotzei migufo. Tosfot says that's not a good question. You can have a gadol who goes to the mikveh. He has the same status of a katan who never had a balkari, who was never a zav. So he says you could create a kohen gadol that has that status of being tahor from tumah yotzei migufo. He just went to the mikveh. So now we have a story. Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rami Bar Chama, Rav Gazli Ba'ar, but they're going on a boat. Solik Rav Amram left Nuyeh. Rav Amram went to go to the bathroom. Ate ayit to alat kamayu. This woman got on the boat. Amr lehu, he said to the remaining two, meaning Rav Nachman and Rav Rami Bar Chama, tamei mate, ma'u shihit bo ba'ochel trumat chutz laretz. A person who is tamei mate, can he go to the mikveh and then eat trumat chutz laretz? So what's the question here? Rashi says, below Harav Shemesh, that he's going to go to the mikveh, but he's not going to wait for the sun to set on him to be tahor from it. Amar le Rav Nachman, the Rami Bar Chama, Rav Nachman looks over to Rami Bar Chama and says, V'chi azah yesh lanu? I mean, this guy's not going to become tahor from his tumat mate at all. We don't have azah, we don't have the para aduma, so there's no question that he's not going to become tahor. So if we're going to be mekel, the guy with this, let's be mekel and say they don't need Harav Shemesh, because we don't have azah b'zman azah. Amar le Rami Bar Chama, lo lechush le l'sabu? Says, shouldn't we wait around and hear what Rav Amram has to say? Let's hear what the big Talmud Chacham. He's older than them. Rav Amram was older than both of them. So when Rav Amram came, he says, this is what Rav said. What Rav Nachman had intuited by himself, that's Rav. Now he has a memory from Rav. Tell me, mate, Tovel v'ochel b'chumat chutzlaretz. He can go to the mitzvah and he can eat right away. He doesn't have to wait for Harav Shemesh. Now, v'leit hilchato kavate, and the halacha is not like him. What does that mean, the halacha is not like him? So Tosafot says, "V'leit yilchot kavate" means "Beham dematzur tvi'la." Ella afilu tvi'la lo bay. You don't even need tvi'la for tumat amate. It's not tumah yotzah migufo. You don't even need tvi'la. You don't even have to go to the mikveh to eat it. You only need mikveh for things that are tumah yotzah migufo. But for stam tumat amate, you can eat it without ever going to the mikveh. That's what Tosafot says, "V'leit yilchot kavate." But then he says, "Lashon kuntri shlo mashmakein." Rashi doesn't sound that way. Now Rashi really doesn't say much more. He says, "Beleit yochad kavatei hashas kimahaderle." The shas is responding to the statement of Rav, and the statement of Rav was the ain tarich harav shemesh. So Rashi tells us the saying. It sounds like he thinks the halacha is not like Rav, but you do need harav shemesh. So we say "Beleit yochad kavatei" means you do. You need mikveh and harav shemesh. So it says no. It says "Beleit yochad kavatei" means you don't need it at all. You don't even need mikveh. Alright, so then we have Damar Mar Zutra Mishmei Rav Sheshet, Tamei Sheretz, Tovel Bochel B'Trumat Chutz Laretz. Again, the late Yilchot HaKavate. The Lach is not like him, depending who you think like, but it's like Rashi. The way Rashi is explaining it, that would mean, late Yilchot HaKavate means that you have to go to the mikveh and you need Harav Shemesh. You're going to Tosafot, that means you don't even have to go to the mikveh, because it's not Tumah Yotzei Migufo, and therefore you don't have to go to the mikveh whatsoever for this. Tosafot first discusses this issue of why is it by challah that we forced you to do twice and not by other items? That's number one. And number two is, why is it that he said that we don't have hazah? Ein lanu hazah. Well, he says, why can't you go to Eretz Yisrael, where they did have the Parah Adumah, and then you could become Tahor and come back? So Tosfos says, she'ein zvara she'tignu chalat kohen b'chutz aretz, she'ein yuchol ochla, elim ken yelech v'yazeb Eretz Yisrael. So it makes no sense that the Chamin would come up with the Tokana that said to a kohen, give the chalat to a kohen chutz aretz, but he can't eat it until he goes to Eretz Yisrael to get Tahor and then comes back. Says that's not a takana. That's a crazy situation. Says they would never put a takana together like that. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, "B'chi hazal yesh lanu." Yes, we do have hazal, but that's in Eretz Yisrael. But we can't make a. If the Chachamim made a takana, they're going to give it to a kohen in Chutz Laretz. It meant that they could have eaten it in Chutz Laretz. And therefore, it's obvious that they didn't have any hakbada on tuma when it came to chalat Chutz Laretz. So that's the first thing. Tosfot says the garbei lahazal. The second thing he talks about is, why is it that over here we worry about challah, and by truma we don't say the same thing? How come by trumat chutz laretz, where you're taking it off, and you're mafrish it, and you say, okay, go ahead, eat it, but truma, we don't say, be mafrish the second one. How come we don't say there, and give it to the kohen? Or today we do the same thing, we're mafrish truma, and we throw it out. We don't give it to the kohen. Why don't we say, we have to take off a second one, and give it to the kohen? Shlo tishtakach, torat, truma. How can we only say that by chala? So Tosfot says, to v'niru l'rabi, to ben hachol ben hatam, apu makom she'echmiru lafrish chala shniya, even in places where they took off a chala shniya, lo echmiru lafrish shtei trumot. They didn't bother to take off two trumot. D'ha lo matzrich b'mishna lafrish shtayim ela b'chalot. The Mishnah only mentions this issue, the gabei chala. V'yesh l'tein tam. What's the reason? She'b'chala yesh yoter lachush shelo tishtakach. Bechalal, there's more of a reason to believe that it will be forgotten mishum the shaycha b'chol adam ha-megagel yisato. Because challah is given over to the habonam. Avo trumah in regilim v'ayla balei karkaot u'mamarchei tzbuot. Since trumah is only relevant to people out in the fields, people who are working in the fields, people who are dealing with grains, therefore there are a limited number of people, and they won't forget Torah trumah and the maser because they know it. They're agrarian, they know what's going on in the agricultural field. By challah, every house where you need dough, you're going to need to give challah. And that's something that's nitan l'hamonam. And since it's nitan l'hamonam, then there's an issue of lo shitishkakach torat challah. He says the difference being that challah is everybody deals with. Trumot ha-matzrot, not everybody deals with. Right, the same thing we have today. Challah, anybody can be baking challah in their kitchen after you mafich challah. Today, trumot ha-matzrot is mesura l'chachamim to those people that deal with the vegetables at either at the time that they're harvesting or at the time that they're in the wholesaler, but it's not dealt with the hamonam in general. We do have it in some cases, but not generally.
In other words, there will be more of a positive response practice.
One is possibly that lo tishtakach means that because it's shayach to the hamonam, then we are more afraid that people will not know the halacha. We want to make sure that this halacha becomes embedded because we're afraid of the fact that even if a percentage of the people remember it, that's not sufficient for us. We need everybody to know the halacha. We need everybody to remember it. So lo tishtakach is more important by times when it involves the hamonam, because anybody who forgets is going to cause us a problem. Whereas when it's something that's a unique subset of people that have to take care of this, over there we have to say, listen, you need to take care of this, and we can speak to them directly about it. And if they're not going to forget it, because it's a smaller group of people, a smaller subset that we can direct towards. We don't have to worry about any Tom, Dick, and Harry that's going to forget about it. So that we don't have to worry about. What you're mentioning,
everybody's forgetting about it anyway.
They don't know it, but it's not relevant to them.
Exactly my point.
Right. Your point is more about, like, by Netilat Yadayim. By Netilat Yadayim, they said by the Srach Truma, that not only does the coin have to do it, but the Yisrael should do it. Because if the Yisrael didn't do it, the coin wouldn't do it either. So that's a possibility. Although over here, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like more like it's to prevent the possibility of people forgetting it, because it's shayach to everybody. It's relevant to everybody. But Trumot HaMasrot is only relevant to a certain subset. And if everybody else forgets about it, fine. Because we can deal with that subset and deal with it at the level of the subset and not worry about the Hamonam. They'll get their grains, they'll get their vegetables after it's been mufresh already. They don't have to deal with it at all. Right, that's one thing. Number two is Tosfot mentioned something that's important. It's a distinction of the Rishonim that's not clear. Our Gemara over here says by Chalat Chutz Laretz. Anywhere in Chutz Laretz, you have to be mafrish too. But that's not the minhag in Chutz Laretz. The minhag in Chutz Laretz is only to mafrish one challah to throw it into the fire, just like we do here in Eretz Yisrael for a challah, which is dir abonon, you're mafrishing and throwing it into the fire. How come we don't have the second challah? The Rishonim, many of the Rishonim, Tosfot included over here, distinguishes between different places. There are certain places in the Chutz Laretz that were required to have two, and certain places that were not. And that's the same thing with Truma. There's Truma dir abonon. The Gemara here talks about Trumat Chutz Laretz. Where did you ever see anybody be mafrish Trumot and Masrot in Chutz Laretz? Anybody in America, in France, anybody mafrish shumot and masrot? No. Never. How come? So Tosfos draws a distinction here that whenever the Gemara says that there was Trumat Chutz La'aretz, Kalat Chutz La'aretz, there's only places that were around Eretz Yisrael. Right, Syria is one of them. But anything that was adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, is one of those places. Egypt, they might have that problem. Places that were adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, where, first of all, the fruits and vegetables of Eretz Yisrael were available to them on a regular basis, so they many times got fruits of Eretz Yisrael. But on top of that, they're adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a likelihood that they could end up in Eretz Yisrael, they could end up with Perot Eretz Yisrael. So in order not to have any mix-up, they were Gozer, or Mitake, and Truma, and Chalav, and these areas that were adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. So too, Tosafot says over here, there are actually three places for Chala. He goes over here and explains the Mishnah, Shlosh Aratzot, the Chala, there are three places for Chala. There's one place of Chala is Eretz Yisrael itself, where Chala is De'oraita. There was Chutz La'aretz that was adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, which was a Din De'rabbanan of the two Chalot. And then there's Chutz La'aretz, which is far away. Now over there he also says there are two Chalot, but you do a different thing with them. So he says that there are three Aratzot, but depending where you are. And it's a very important distinction in terms of Chutz La'aretz. What are the Dinim? How come we're not Mafrish? Shubot Masrod Midrabbanan in Chutz La'aretz or Chala. We don't keep some of these Dinim that are mentioned here. It's because they're not classified as the Chutz La'aretz that's being mentioned here. In the Gemara, the Chutz La'aretz is mentioned here, or these are places that are adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. Alright, let's go out in the Gemara. So Gemara says, Kornechal Shana B'Shana. What is that? Mitkamar Nalod Bo Mum B'Toch Shnato. If he has a Mum in his first year of life, the Memra, the Shana Didei Maninan. We're not counting by the calendrical year, but rather the year of the animal itself. How do you know this? No, Mitkamar is a conclusion. From the Mishnah, the fact that it says that if the animal gets a Mum in its first year of life, so that suggests that the year that we're talking about in the Mishnah is counted from the birth of this Bechor, not from the calendrical year. I mean, they don't say, oh, he was born in Nisan, Tishrei comes at the end of his first year. We don't say it's based on the calendar, we say it's based on the life of this animal, and that's implied by the Mishnah. The fact that it says if it gets a mum in its first year of life. Remember, the Shana Didei Maninan, Minahani, Milahari, on this, Amir Yudamarav, Damarkwa, Lifnei Hashem, Lekech, Tochlenu, Shana Bishana. That you should eat it before Hashem, Shana Bishana. Ezu Shana Shinifneset Bechaberta. How can you have it 2 years? How can you eat the Bechor for 2 years? So, which is a year that goes into its friend? Avimor, Shana Shal Bechor. Since the Shana of the Bechor is counted from the birth of the animal, it can overlap 2 years, because it'll cross over Tishrei. By definition, unless it's born on Tishrei, it will cross over Tishrei, and the Bechor will involve 2 years. So that's what it means, Shana Bishana. You're allowed to eat the Bechor over 2 year period. Not literally 2 years, but the year of its life, from the time it's born, will straddle 2 years, because it will cross over Tishrei. The Bei Rav Tano, Shana Bishana. So the Bei Rav taught that, no, it's not the way to darshan Shana Bishana. Yom Echai Bishana Zu, V'Yom Echai Bishana Zu. One day in this year, one day in the next year. Teaches us the Bechor is a din like Shlamim. That's eaten for 2 days and one night. Because Shana B'Shana means you can eat it for one day from this year, one day from the next year. So if you have it the last day of Elul, the first day of Tishrei, that shows you that Shlamim, that can be eaten for 2 days and one night. The Bei Rav Nalu. So now where does Bei Rav know that you can keep it for a year? That the Mum in the first year, you're allowed to keep it for the first 12 months? Yafim in Kochim. They learn out of Kochim. Mekochim Gufa Umanai. Where do they know that in Kochim? Amarachabi Yaakov Amarka. Keves ben Shnato. When it says Keves ben Shnato, it's Shnato Shelo. It's talking about its own year. Velo Shana Shel Minyan Olam. It's not talking about the calendrical year. So it's over here. By the Bechor, the Shana is counted from its birth, not from the calendar. V'Rav Nechal L'Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad Min Olay. And then Rav himself, where does he know about Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad? So you remember, first we have a quote from Damar Rabbi Yudam Rav, and then we have Tana Debei Rav, which is a question about the Girsa there. If it's Tana Debei Rav, then you have Rav saying two things. So if the Girsa should be Tana Debei Rabbi, it makes more sense that that's what it is. And therefore now they're asking about Rav, where does he know about Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad? That's Amar Yudam Rav. So Nafgalei Umi Bisaram Yelocha Ki Chazeat Snufa Kishoka Yamin. That the Basar of the Bechor will be like the other Matnot Kehuna of the Chazeh and the Shok. But the Chazeh and the Shok come off of a Shlamim. So Yikishu HaKatuv, the Chazeh V'Shok. There is a parallel drawn between the Chazeh and the Shok and the Bechor. So the Chazeh V'Shok Shel Shlamim, Mal Halan Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad, Afkan Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad. That's how they learn it out. V'idach, Tana Dvei Rabbi. Imi Hata, Mikla Neymar, Chazeh V'Shok Shel Todah. The Chazeh and Shok is taken off of Shlamim, but there's also another Shlamim called the Todah. Todah, which is a subset of Shlamim, it also has a Chazeh V'Shok. So how do you know you're talking about the Chazeh Shok of a regular Shlamim, which is 2 days and one night? Maybe it's the Chazeh Shok of a Todah, which is only one day and one night. So maybe you should compare it to that. V'idach, Rav say back to him, Amar Kral L'cha Iyeh. Give you additional havaya. It tells you bechor, you get an additional timing. That's not like the todah, it's like the shlamim. Vidach, Tana Bei Rabbi says, Hamihotam, I don't learn that at Rabbi Ikala Meymar, Hai Yelacha, the Midah Bechor Bamom, Shinot Nola Kohen. Yelacha is a limud that a Bechor Bamom gets given to the Kohen. Shalom Matzimel Bechola Torah Kula. The Torah never tells you what you have to do with the Bechor Bamom. You have a Bechor Bamom, what do you do with it? The Torah never prescribes what you do with it. So he says, from the Darsha of Yelacha, that extra Yelacha means that there's another Matnot Kuna that we didn't mention here. What's that? Bechor Mamom. So that's what Rabbi learns out of that Pasuk. So he doesn't have that Pasuk available to teach him about the fact that it's Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. Vidach. So where does Rav learn that out of? Where does Rav know that a Bechor Mamom goes to the Kohen? He says, Ubsaram. It says, Ubsaram Yelacha. Bsaram in plural. Echad Tam V'Echad Balmom. Bsaram in plural comes to teach you Tam and Balmom. Vidach, what does Rabbi do with the word b'saram in plural? The Hani b'chorot, the Kulu Yisrael kamar. It's written in plural, not to tell you multiple b'chorot, but rather, it's written in plural because every Yisrael has to give their b'chor to the Kohen. So b'saram means all the b'chorim. The b'saram, any b'chor that's around. And it's written in plural because there's not just one b'chor in the world, there are multiple b'chorim in the world. And therefore, we use the b'saram in the plural as the regular way to write the pasuk. It's nothing to be learned out of it. Whereas Rav says b'saram, you could write the b'sar, a b'chor. That would have been fine, because we see that written in the singular many times, even when it's referencing a large number or a plural quantity. Nevertheless, it wrote Bsaram to teach you that you get the Balmum and the Tam are given to the Kohen. So since he uses Ubsaram to teach you that din about the Kohen, he has Yelacha extra. Yelacha extra teaches you that the Hekesh between the Chazen Shuk and the Bechor is by Shlamim and not by Todah. On the other hand, Rabbi, who says that Bsaram doesn't teach you anything, that's a regular colloquial way to write it in the Pasuk. Therefore, he has to use the Yelachah to teach you that Bechor Balmum goes to the Kohen. And then he doesn't have that available to teach him the fact that we're not talking about the Chazek Shok of a Todah, but the Chazek Shok of Shlamim. And he will learn it out from the Pasuk of Shana B'Shana. Shana B'Shana, how do I know that a Bechor can be eaten for Shnei Yamim Laila Echad? And learn it out of the Pasuk of Shana B'Shana. How will I know that we count to the years of the animal, not the calendrical years, that I learned out of Keves Ben Shnato. Whereas Rav learned it out of Shana B'Shana to teach him that that's the years that we count for the Bechor, therefore he needs Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad from the adjacency, the juxtaposition of Chazesh Shok to Bechor, and he has the Yelacho available to teach him that's the Shlamim and not the Todah. So that's how he gets the Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. And from Bisaram, you learn out that Bechor Balmum and Bechor Tam goes to the Kohen. Right, we'll stop over here.